Evening. Hope you all had a good day today. Talisa and I had to go to a doctor's checkup with our surgeon today in Tulsa. Went up to the hospital and did the appointment and all that. And as we were leaving, we got on the elevator and shared it with this elderly lady. And as we were riding down the elevator, she looked at me and said, "I've got something for you." And so I'm not real sure what she was going to do, but she grabs me and gives me the biggest bear hug you've ever seen. And when she steps back, she said, "God tells me who to hug." And so I've got a hug from the Lord today. So like, if you haven't got one yet, it's maybe you can try again tomorrow. But it's been a pretty good day so far for me. But tonight we're gonna look into the Word of God and see what we can learn about being separated from this world, biblical separation, the separating ourselves from the world. Our the text that we're going to focus on is in 2 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 6 if you want to look there. I'm going to apologize in advance, especially to Brother Dave, because I've got a lot of scripture references. We're just going to kind of look at this topically, so we're going to be jumping around a lot in the scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to look to start at verses 17 and 18. Biblical separation it's rooted in the holiness of God in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't separate from sin to become God's children. We're already God's children. So when we get saved and we repent of our sins, put our faith and trust in Christ, we become God's children. We're not trying to separate from the world or remove ourselves from sin for our salvation or for anything like that. We're doing it because we love the Lord and we want to draw closer to Him. So that's kind of the purpose of it. In 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Amen. Okay, so that says there, "And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." The thing that we have to be very careful about when we study things like this, we need to stay away from legalism, which is something we're not trying to do, but where we just have like a list of do's and don'ts. But we can have the Bible teaches us some ways to discern what is right and what is wrong. And that's kind of what we're going to focus on tonight. I've got a list towards the end that we're going to go through. I've got nine questions that we can ask ourselves to determine, is this something I should do or is it something I should separate myself from? So I've got a list like that. First, though, I'm going to look at a few other things. The first one is the motivation for our separation. The motivation is for our love for Christ. If you look at John 14, 15, some of these, like I said, I'm going to have a lot, so if I can read them, and some of them Dave can pull up, but if you don't want to flip your Bibles for every one of these, I understand. In John 14, 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus does not say there, "Keep my commandments so I will love you." That's not the way it works. That's backwards. If we try to make our obedience to Christ what our salvation revolves around, that's getting it all backwards. We want to be obedient to Christ and separate ourselves from the world because Jesus loved us, because He gave us that salvation. So we're doing it in a response of love towards Christ. It's not a measure. We're not trying to do it to show how spiritual we are. I'm sure, you know, we can all see the example, we'll talk about this later, the example of the Pharisees in the Bible. They tried to be separate from the world, but their heart wasn't separate from it. It was just an outward show, and we want to be very careful we don't do that. So our motivation is love for Christ. Secondly, the grace of God is what produces it. So it's not in, it's not our own goodness that's going to let us separate from the world. It's the grace of God. In Titus 2, 11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So it's for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that. So it is the grace of God. It's not my own power that's going to help me separate. I don't have the power to avoid all the sins of this world. And not in my own power. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm a sinful man. All of us are sinful. And we're not going to be able to separate from the world on our own power. It's through the grace of God. It's the grace that God gives us. Number three, separation is an inward matter before it is an outward matter. So we have to separate ourselves in our heart prior to doing it in our flesh. So if we just do it in our flesh, we're kind of missing the whole boat. We have to do it inside first. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." God is not interested in just seeing us change our behaviors, our outward behaviors. He wants to change our heart. He wants the heart to change. And then when our heart changes, our outward behaviors will naturally change based on what's in our heart. If we just have outward separation but lack that inward holiness, that's just hypocrisy. We have to change our insides before we change our outside. The next one is we need to be careful how we judge one another. Amen. So this is kind of where we need to be careful about avoiding legalism, where we're not gonna sit down and make some list and say, and you're gonna notice as I go through this, I'm not really gonna say anything about any topic specifically. I'm just gonna give you some general principles that we can use to determine if it's something we should do. But we need to be careful that we're not making some list of do's and don'ts for other people and then judging them based on our list. We as Christians have Christian liberty in a lot of aspects in our life. What may be something that I see that I need to separate myself from, some other Christian may make a different decision about that. But I'm not going to judge them on their decision when I've made my decision. So based on the decision I've made, we've got to be very careful of avoiding that legalism. Romans 14:4 says, "Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth." We've got to be careful about judging other people based on the standards that we decide for our lives. There is a place to judge. There is a place to try to bring someone out of sin if they're in it. Like the world says, one of the world's favorite sayings is, "You can't judge me." You know, and that's not what I'm saying here. Is that there's not a time and place to judge others when they've fallen in sin. But we've got to be careful that we don't just make Christianity just a list of do's and don'ts and be legalistic about it. So let's look at the Pharisees. We can see with the Pharisees the wrong kind of separation. They were extremely separated from those around them. They gloried in looking different and sounding different and setting themselves above all of those people that they were living around, yet they were extremely far from God. So their hearts were far from God, but outwardly they looked amazing. You know, everybody looked up to the Pharisees as being these holy, devout men. But Jesus, when he sees them, he confronts them. He knows that their hearts aren't right. Matthew 23:25-28 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto a whited sepulchre, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." So again here, you see the Pharisees got it completely backwards. They were focusing all of their attention on what their outward appearance was. They were hypocrites that wanted everybody else to see them as holy people, but lacked any holiness inside. That's the opposite of what God wants from us. He wants us to sanctify our insides, sanctify our heart, and then out of that will flow the actions. Amen. So they got it backwards. We have to be careful. We can do the exact same thing. It's easy to look at them and point the finger and say, look at you Pharisees. We can be hypocritical just as easily as they can. We've got to be careful about that.
Amen.
So let's look at a good example. We can look at there's a lot of them. It was hard for me to pick one, but I thought of Daniel here. Think of Daniel of the right kind of separation. Daniel served. He was there. He was in the midst of a pagan government. He learned from the Babylonians. You know, he was in the middle of these wicked people. He worked alongside unbelievers. Yet in Daniel 1:8, he says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself." So Daniel was in the world. He was amongst all of these ungodly people. But in his heart, he purposed that he would not defile himself. That's where it started, in the heart. That's where it has to start for all of us, not just our actions. Separation, it begins with God's holiness. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy."
Amen.
And then one more, Romans 12, 1 through 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You notice there it says that, which is your reasonable service. Presenting ourselves, our bodies as a living sacrifice, that's not extraordinary service. That is our reasonable service to God.
Amen.
That when, because of what he has done for us, because he sent his son to die on a cross, lived a perfect life, yet took my sin, because he did that, we should be more than happy to present ourselves, our lives, as a living sacrifice to God. Paul's appeal there, it says the mercies of God. Obedience flows from grace, not from our own power. It flows from the grace. So we're going to get in, just here for a minute or two, we're going to get into this. I've got a list of 9 questions. Any of y'all like making lists? I kind of like some of y'all. Yeah. My wife loves lists, I'll tell you. She really, really likes lists. Yeah. We have on our, my Talisa, Lexi, and I all have iPhones, and I don't know if some of y'all have iPhones, I'm sure already know this, but we figured out a while back that in the Notes app, you can make a list and share it between the three of you. So we have a grocery list on my iPhone, and I can go in there and I can type something in that grocery list. And it's amazing because within 2 or 3 days, it just appears in the pantry. Like, I don't know how it gets there. I don't know where it comes from. But I put something on the grocery list, and it just appears in the pantry. I think iPhone should probably advertise that feature some more because apparently they don't enough because it's amazing. But my wife loves making lists, and she's kind of taught me to enjoy that more. So if you make notes, you can write some of these down. But going to go through a few of them here. Like I said, there's 9 altogether. The first question that we can ask ourselves if we're trying to decide, is this something that I should do or something that I should separate myself from? The first one is probably the most simple and most obvious. Is it forbidden by Scripture? That's the very first thing. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So is it forbidden by Scripture? God's word gives us guidelines to follow. Obviously, if what you're considering doing, if that violates Scripture, don't do it. So that's very, very simple. Number 2, will it make me more like the world or more like Christ? Romans 12, 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then 1 John 2, 15-17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but as it is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We should not be trying to see how close we can get to sin. We should be looking to see how close we can get to our Savior. Let's not look to, like, the point here is will it make me more like the world or more like Christ? And so that's a pretty simple one to ask yourself when you're trying to decide what you should do. Number three, will it glorify God? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. We should try to make everything in our lives glorify God. Everything we can do to glorify him. Number four, is it profitable and spiritually beneficial? 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Just because something is lawful doesn't mean it's necessarily good for you. So it may not be a sin in and of itself, but if it's done in a way that's not good for you or hinders you in some way, maybe you shouldn't do it. The example I think of this is when I go get that third helping of spaghetti. You know, maybe the first couple would have been enough, and that third plate's not helping my weight at all. That fourth little Debbie snack, you know, I love some little Debbies, but maybe I need to be careful. It's lawful for me to eat. There's not a sin for me to eat a little Debbie, but if I eat in excess, then it can become a sin. If I'm gluttonous, so we have to be careful. There's some things that they may be lawful, but they're not profitable. It's not something that's going to be profitable or beneficial. Number five, will it bring me under its power? 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. A good example of this would be things that can be addictive. So we've got to be careful, and that could be sugar, that can be alcohols, tobaccos, all those things. They may not be sinful in and of themselves, but if it's something that's going to cause us to become addicted, to where we're brought under the power of that, then we probably need to stay away from it if it's going to cause addiction issues. So we've got to be very careful about that. And it's not just things like that. There's lots of things. Maybe I'm addicted to, playing video games or whatever it is. You know, if it's addictive where you just, that's all you can think about, then we have to be careful about that. Number six, will it strengthen or damage my testimony? Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. And Philippians 2:15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Again, even if something is lawful, can it damage my ability to share Christ? And there's examples of that in the Bible. Just due to time, I won't get into all of them, but there's examples of that in the Bible where something may be lawful, but it would hurt your testimony. It would hurt your ability to share Christ with others. So we need to make sure we take that into account when making decisions about what we should or shouldn't do. Number seven, could it cause another believer to stumble? Romans 14:13 says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Amen. And 19 through 21, just a little bit further down, it says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. we don't live our Christian lives in a vacuum. It's not just us that we have to be concerned about. We have to be concerned about those around us. And if our actions and decisions are harming others, then we've got to be careful, even if it's lawful for us, if it's not, even if it's a non-sinful behavior, if that's going to create a stumbling block to one of our brothers or sisters in Christ, we've got to be careful about that. We've got to be spiritual about that. Number 8, does it help me redeem my time? Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." I mentioned this earlier, but I think here there's lots of examples you could use. I think of video games. There's nothing wrong with playing video games, but if you get addicted to playing video games and that's all you think about, and you are not able to continue on with your responsibilities in life, and it's causing issues, then it would be wrong. We need to make sure that we spend our time as much of it as we can doing things that are going to further the kingdom. And that doesn't mean that we can't have recreation and all that. All of that is good, and God gave it to us as a gift. It's all, a lot of that stuff's fantastic, but we have to make sure that we don't let our lives be consumed by those things. We need to make sure that we use our time that we have here wisely. And number 9, the last one on the list, does it draw me closer to Christ? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, whom for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Do the things that we do in our life help us run our Christian race or hinder us? That's a question that we should all ask when we're trying to decide, is it right for me to do this or not? In closing, I knew this would be I was hoping this would be a fairly short lesson, so wouldn't keep you too long, but in closing, one distinction that I think is important is that separation from the world and sin is not isolation. We're not isolating ourselves from the world. In John 17, 15 through 18, he says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." So God has sent us here. We have a mission to reach those around us with the gospel. And we have to be amongst some evil things sometimes. There's some terrible things that go on in this world. We can't completely separate ourselves from it. We can't go, just start a village somewhere and live there by ourselves and never come into contact with the rest of the world. Sometimes, honestly, that sounds pretty good to me, to get away from some of the things that we have to deal with here. But that's not what God wants. He wants us to preach the gospel to the world. Because of that, we're going to have to experience some of the things in the world. We can look at Jesus' example. He ate with sinners. He loved sinners. He called sinners to repentance. But he never compromised his holiness. And that's our example. So he was a friend of sinners. We know that. He looked for people to redeem them, but he never sinned. He was able to do all that without sinning. And that's the example that we have today, is we are to go out into our communities to preach the gospel, to try to spread the word, but we need to do it without becoming stained by that world. We need to do it without joining in with the sin that they're doing. This separation, it's not about building a wall between us and the world. It's just about us walking closer to Christ. We want our lives to be constantly moving closer to Christ. And in a way, when we move closer to Christ, we're naturally going to move away from sin. The last thing I would say is, just as we go through our lives, when we try to make decisions, is this something that I should do, something I shouldn't do? We should stop and think about these questions that I've given us. Are these things expedient? Are they? Is it lawful? All of these things we should think about it to help us make the decisions that we that we face every day in our lives. That's the end of the lesson. I appreciate this opportunity. Before we close, are there any announcements or prayer requests?